Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Get right to the music news with our music guy, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys doing?
Great.
All right. We're good.
Wait, let's just get right to this.
Sure.
Dave Grohl says, yeah, we've been offered the Super Bowl, so what?
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation to see. He was doing the rounds for a big show they're doing in California this weekend, and he said the NFL's had multiple conversations with Foo Fighters over the year about, you know, wanting to have a rock and roll band play the Super Bowl halftime, but in Grohl's view, he feels like that's like one of the last things you do. It's a late career type of thing. It's not exactly
really
something he feels you should do if you're feeling active, I think, you know, and all the strictures and everything.
Justin Timberlake, Lady Gaga.
Everybody has their own business plan, right, Gary?
Exactly.
And Dave Grohl has his business plan.
It's about your own perceived credibility, how you want your audience to view it, how you're handling the brand, as they say.
And if he's confident enough in his ability and the band's ability to be relevant enough somewhere down the road that the NFL is going to come and knock and go, hey, we'd love you to play the Super Bowl, then it'll happen, right?
Yeah, one day if they wanted to. At the moment we're still, Maroon 5 is supposedly still doing it, although no announcement has been made by either party. There's some talk that Cardi B is also going to be part of this. These things seem to be out there pretty concretely, even though, the NFL and the artists themselves are saying, no, nothing's for sure.
And Dave also acknowledges there is a drinking regimen before the show. So
apparently,
when did they talk to him about this?
In doing a radio interview leading up to the show I mentioned in California, he says that he starts his pregame regimen by taking 3 Advil an hour before a show. And then he has a Coors Light about 50 minutes before the show. And then right after the Coors Light, he starts hitting the Jägermeister. And apparently the Jägermeister, he's had 4 shots of Jaeger and 3 Coors Lights before they go on.
And wow.
So he's
well, if you do it
show.
Every night, you're probably...
Right. You get kind of an immunity built up to
and
it.
That's apparently better than 5-hour energy drink, because these guys play on, play for 3 hours at a crack.
Has anybody ever said, is Grohl drunk up there tonight or what?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Because he's so just exuberant and almost outlandish in the way he performs on stage. I'm sure people have thought about whether he may or may not have been drunk.
I think Dave can do whatever Dave wants to do.
He's in that point.
He seems to have it pretty much dialed in.
He's carved out that niche for himself, and everybody will follow.
I don't know anybody, and I'm dead serious, who doesn't like Dave Grohl.
If they don't say it.
Right, because people go, what's wrong with you? Everyone likes Dave Grohl.
Right.
He's the likable musician.
No, he's likable. He's a true believer. He gives it his all. You gotta say that. Whenever he's out there.
The guy broke his leg and stayed out on tour.
On stage.
Yeah.
And played a whole tour with his
right.
leg in the cast.
So, yeah. Come on. You gotta like Dave Grohl. What'd Steve Perry have to say when you talked to him?
I talked to him yesterday, and of course he's getting ready for his big comeback.
Now, hold on a second. Did you call him or did he call you?
He called me.
Yeah. He called you. Hey,
wow.
Hey, Gary, Steve Perry, what's up?
I should say the publicist placed
me. Okay.
So it's not that good.
Okay.
But we did call. We did renew acquaintances. I had actually done the press bio, the one that they send out to reporters. I had written that for his last album, his last solo album, For the Love of Strange Medicine. So it was nice to hear from him again. He's got this new album coming out next, a week from today, and he's looking at getting back into it. Typical of the event, he wants to look forward rather than backwards, but does say that essentially he burned out on Journey and burned out on the work. And when I asked him about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction and why he didn't sing, he's said this before, that he's not in the band anymore and he didn't feel it would be appropriate for him to get up there and sing, that it's Arnell's band now, and he didn't want to do anything that might overshadow that. So I guess you take him at his word. You know, there were all sorts of other speculation about why he didn't. But that's the story he has, and he's sticking to it. He says he would like to do some touring in support of this album. Right now, he's concentrating on getting the album out, and then they'll talk about, you know, what he's going to do in terms of touring.
But if he goes out and tours, they're going to want to hear him sing the old Journey stuff
as well.
Oh, he will.
You know, he still feels like, you know, he still feels some ownership of those songs, so he's not going to just not do them. But, you know, there will be a balance there. So there will be plenty, you know, in other words, there will be plenty of opportunity to go get a beer or go to the bathroom. Also on the Journey front, Neil Schon announced that he's doing a tour next year with a band he's putting together calling Journey Through Time. And this is to play music from all 45 years of the career. He says that he will, you know, be playing music from all the albums, stuff we don't hear. It's a veiled slap at the band and probably directly at Jonathan Cain, just because, you know, the band Journey does not dig particularly deep into its catalog. When it goes out on the road, it plays the hits.
Neil Schon just can't spend a day without taking a slap, you know, at Jonathan Cain.
I still wonder, you know, what is going on here? You know, why does he have? He's certainly considered. I think if you asked anybody about Journey right now, any fan, it's all Neil. You know, he's the star. And, so I don't know where the insecurity comes from, where this need seems to come from to defend himself and kind of, you know, establish that he's the guy. I don't think he needs to be doing it, but he is.
Tell him that next time you talk to him.
I plan to.
Yeah. How's Dickie Betts?
Dickie, apparently the surgery went well last week. You know, his manager posted a note thanking everybody for their wishes, and, you know, saying that they were able to relieve the pressure on his brain, and that he's recovering well and the prognosis is good. Is not addressing, you know, whether Dickie Betts will be able to play music again or tour. You know, he had just restarted his career again just a few months before, but I think we kind of know the answer, but they're not saying it for sure.
Cameron Crowe's going to Broadway.
Yeah, this is interesting.
This seemed like a no-brainer, didn't it? Like
I don't know. You know, I don't look at a lot of movies and say, oh yeah, that should be turned into a Broadway musical. But he wants to do that with Almost Famous, you know, which is the kind of biographical film about his life as a teenage music journalist. And so it's, you know, it was a hit movie, and now he wants to do it for Broadway. He's not talking about when or who else he'll be working with, but it looks like that's the game plan. So,
well, you beat me to the question. I was going to say, who's he going to work with to write the music? Because he's a writer. He's not a composer.
You've got to get a composer. You need to. Well, there are some songs, of course, that were written especially for the movie for the Sweetwater Band to perform. But you know, you will need other songs that kind of are part of and advance the plot. So I think we're looking at a couple of years at least before we actually see that.
Andrew Lloyd Webber could do it, but he's busy with Taylor Swift now.
He could, yeah. Well, they're getting ready for a movie adaptation of Cats, and Andrew Lloyd Webber did say that Taylor Swift would be playing one of the McCavity girls. There were two of them in the movie, Bombalurina and Demeter.
Boy,
probably just,
you know,
completely.
Do you have a complete list of all the Cats characters anywhere?
There are plenty of out there. You run through it, and like I say, you just fumble and butcher it. So sorry for any of you Dancing Cats fans out there.
All right.
Sorry, just don't know them.
Will this be better than Tommy? Because Tommy sucked when they made it into a movie.
It depended how you saw Tommy.
High, you mean, or not high?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I was like 14 or 13 when it came out.
Oh, you were high.
No, I went to it and I went, man, this is just weird.
Yeah,
it wasn't just weird.
It was not a great movie, especially if you saw it straight. We'll see about Cats. I mean, Cats. I mean, for my taste, Cats is not a great musical, high, straight, or otherwise. So I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure what you can do to it in a movie.
The Stones are in New York working on what? New music?
New music. They posted some photos this weekend that they're out there, that they're there, you know, working. There were photos of Mick, Keith, and Steve Jordan, the drummer who's worked with Keith quite a bit. So, you know, who knows what that's about, because, of course, Charlie Watts is you know, is the drummer, but Steve Jordan's also a producer. So it's entirely possible he's involved in the production end of the album. Meanwhile, the Stones have announced a new archival live release. They're going to do a 1994 concert from the Voodoo Lounge tour. This was the one that was the pay-per-view broadcast from Florida that had Robert Cray, Bo Diddley, Sheryl Crow were all guests, and they're going to add some additional tracks to it and make it a nice project.
Now, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the Beatles re-releasing Let It Be.
Yes,
because they said there's better footage that can be in there. It's a more joyful time than what was portrayed in the original movie, right?
Right.
So now the Beatles are releasing the White Album.
Yeah, well, we kind of knew this was coming, and we've been talking about this. But you know, they are. You know, they did that great re-release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band last year. So now they're going to give a similar treatment to the White Album. 6 CDs, 1 Blu-ray, something like 77 songs, 77 recordings we've never heard, demos, alternative versions, things like that. You know, it's just going to be the total immersion into the White Album, which, you know, many consider to be maybe the most interesting.
Are these for the casual fan, or are these for the guys who are hardcore Beatles fans?
This is for the total hardcore. I mean, how many demo versions of Hey Bulldog do you need to hear, or you know, any of the other songs from that album? But you know, if you are a real Beatlesophile, and Lord knows there are plenty of those, you know, you'll be able. This will keep you happy probably from its release in November through the end of 2019.
And I don't even know what this means. The Eagles announced a new complete box set.
Yeah, basically what it sounds like they're going to box everything together. So all the studio albums, the 3 live albums, and another disc that has B-sides and single versions. And it's going to come out, let's see, it's how many CDs?
Let me guess, it'll be out for Christmas.
12 CDs, 15 vinyl LPs. The vinyl version will be $350. The CD version, $180. But it's everything. So if you want a one-stop Eagles shopping package, you know, you can put this on your shelf and forget about everything else.
Are there any special booklets or posters
or pins? Booklet, memorabilia, rare and unseen photos.
Have you seen any of it yet?
I haven't yet. They just announced it this week.
All right. So, man, it's almost laughable now.
What they do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, they just...
But this is where the industry is now making money, is in the archival part, because people are just downloading their new music, and they're downloading it mostly a song at a time.
Well, let's face it, there's plenty of dummies like me out there that'll go, I should get that.
Oh, and you know, again, for the B-sides disc alone, it might be worth getting.
But there were B-sides for a reason, Gary. They were no good.
You know, yes and no. I mean, I give you, you know, Springsteen's Pink Cadillac, Prince's 17 Days. The Beatles had a lot of B-sides, you know, and the Rolling Stones had a lot of songs that were B-sides.
All right.
So, you know, they're not always, you know, they're not always throwaways.
I appreciate the fact that you never give up on music, Gary. You'll promote music, A-side, B-side, re-release, remastered, remixed, whatever.
There you go.
Vinyl, digital, download, whatever version you want. All right. Well, thanks for the time this morning, Gary.
All right. You guys have a great weekend. I guess I should say go Brewers. I don't think you're going to have a great challenge from our team over here.
Really?
No.
Guys aren't going to go for broke, go nuts, play everybody.
You got a lot of prospects who are, you know, obviously playing to make a mark, but they're...
Those are dangerous guys. There's no book on them.
They can be dangerous, right. There's no book, but there's also a limited amount of talent.
Really don't need anybody playing for pride over at Miller Park in a Tiger uniform this weekend, Gary.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm sure you guys can hit the hotel and take care of them before the bus goes over there.
All right, Gary, thanks.
Have a good weekend.
Gary Graff, our music guy.